Welcome to Conversations with Owens Community College President, Dr. Dion D. Somerville. Welcome to today's episode of the Conversations Podcast. I'm Dr. Dion D. Somerville. Thank you for listening today. Whether this is your first time with us or if you're a longtime follower, we're so happy that you're joining us as we explore the issues and meet the people who are important to Northwest Ohio and to Owens Community College. Thank you for listening today. Please enjoy our previous episodes and subscribe to Conversations to join us for future episodes. Today, I am so excited to welcome Christy Klaus, Senior Managing Director of Talent for Jobs Ohio, Ohio's private economic development corporation. Before joining Jobs Ohio at its inception 14 years ago, she served as Assistant Director of the Strategic Business Investment of the Ohio Department of Development. Christy previously worked for the Allen Economic Development Group and the Lima Allen County Chamber of Commerce. She holds a Bachelor of Arts in Communication and Business from Bluffton University. Hi, Christy, and thank you for being our guest today. Christy, welcome to the Conversations Podcast. I'm so excited that you're here joining us today. We've been looking forward to this. And how we start every podcast is that we ask our guest how it was they knew they needed education or wanted education beyond high school. So can you talk a little bit about your journey?
For me, grew up in a small town in Northwest Ohio and had the opportunity to have a supporting family who had multiple tracks, from going straight to work from high school, some to community colleges like Rhodes State, and then some that went on for four-year education. For me, the path was I really liked the university setting, and I wanted to try to dabble in some STEM, biology and chemistry, and then some things changed, and I ended up in business. And so that was kind of my pathway from high school all the way up through, but had very much support from family as well as guidance counselors and teachers at my high school that encouraged moving on and thinking about your career pathway.
So I did not know that you started with biology and chemistry. I started as a biochem major. I know. And so what was your career goal when you had those majors in mind?
Honestly, being in Northwest Ohio, I wasn't sure what my career opportunities were. I knew that there were some facilities in Northwest Ohio, like Charles River Labs, Spencerville, Ohio, but I didn't really know what I could do with either of those degrees. And some of what my college experience at that time was you can go into teaching if you go into biology and chemistry. And as I dabbled a little into that, I felt that that was not the pathway for me to go into teaching. And I thought maybe I should try other things.
It really talks about how we can't expect young people or, you know, people who are no longer young to always know exactly what they want to do, because there's a whole world that opens up to them at some point in time during their life.
And a world that is ever changing, as we both know.
Absolutely, it is. So much of your career has been focused in workforce development. What do you see as the biggest opportunities and the biggest challenges facing the state of Ohio?
I think the opportunities, if we start there, the resurgence of manufacturing in the United States and the renaissance of manufacturing in advancing technology that is making manufacturing more automated. It's making it more integrated with technology like cybersecurity and those kinds of things. So I think that's our opportunity. And Ohio has a long history of making things, and we're really good at it. And we have a strong work ethic here in the state of Ohio. And so I think those things combined with our location, our physical location of being in proximity to 60% of the U.S. population, puts us in a prime spot for us to harness this generational opportunity and really try to advance Ohio's economy in making things again, which generates opportunity and prosperity for Ohioans. I think the challenge to that, one of the challenges, is maybe some of the older perceptions of what manufacturing is, what it does, how technology may scare some individuals a little bit on math and science requirements, and they don't think that it's necessarily attainable for them. And so I think we have some work to do there in some of those spaces, but I think the opportunity to advance Ohio and make economic mobility more attainable for individuals is a path that I would love to see us try to take advantage of and really try to make sure that Ohioans have the opportunity for career advancement across the state.
you look at where we're located and you look at all of the things that are happening, either the Gordie Howe Bridge or the studies that have been done about automation and how there are more robots in this area than most other places in the country, and the Glass Center of Excellence with the Innovation District. I mean, there's so many things that seem to be happening right now, really kind of make it exciting around advanced manufacturing.
Agree.
And so one of the things that we talk about often here at Owens is when you say advanced manufacturing, people don't always know what that is. And just the manufacturing word kind of conjures up images that really aren't accurate in today's landscape anymore. And so if you had to describe what is advanced manufacturing to someone, what do you tell them?
Think of the cleanest room you've been in, and that is manufacturing today. If you even go into some of the former institutions, like I'll use Lima Ford, for example, they've completely redone the inside of that factory and that facility. And there are white ceilings, white walls, white floor, and everything is, for the most part, controlled by technology. There are PLCs, there's robotics, all operating the machinery going down the line, which was very different from even 1980, 1990, even in the early 2000s. So it's a complete transformation in even just the automotive industry. And then if you go into a biomanufacturing facility such as Abbott Labs, for example, it's clean room space. It's even cleaner than anything in your house, probably. There's no dust, there's no lint, there's nothing in there because of what they're doing from a production perspective. They're also working on controls and PLCs and electronic robots and things like that to make sure that the product is going down the line and quality is of high regard. So I think from a advanced manufacturing component, if you think of robotics, but people have to touch and feel those robotics and they have to make sure that everything is operating the way it is supposed to be, that to me is advanced manufacturing in today's environment. There are some new companies that are literally coming in and the individual isn't even going to be on a line. They're going to touch that product from finish to end as a team, because they believe that that's the best way to make products, especially in the defense industry. And so those are the advancements that we're making across the country. But in Ohio, that's our opportunity, where you as an individual would literally be working on a team with an engineer, technicians, some skilled trades to make sure that that product is literally being developed from beginning to end correctly. And any troubleshooting that needs to happen in the middle of any of that is problem solved by that team and up through management if it needs to go that high. I think that's the kind of that entrepreneur spirit and the design and the elements and continuous improvement that is built in manufacturing now, that maybe others don't know that that's how it is, or that isn't how it maybe was a couple decades ago. And so now it is truly integrated in some of these manufacturing institutions, and they rely on those individuals that are touching the product to make sure that they are problem solving at every moment. They're recognizing challenges or quality control issues and getting them addressed early in the process.
It's interesting to hear you say that, because so many times, you know, manufacturing can conjure up images that seem rote and repetitious. And what you're describing is something that is considerably more thought-provoking, allows for problem-solving, innovation, working in teams, and really kind of looking at a level of ownership over the outcome.
I think maybe that is part of the stigma that had been, not just the darker and dirtier images, but it is the, how much am I going to just be plugging and playing on the same piece of equipment? And the advancements that are being made, it truly is, they're looking for individuals who can problem solve, work as a team, work as a unit, identify quality control issues. And those are different skill sets than maybe others think about when they think about manufacturing and advanced manufacturing.
You know, you have the image of either Laverne and Shirley or I Love Lucy, you know, something like that. And that's not what you're describing at all. Now, one of the things that has become so apparent is, as we talk about advanced manufacturing and technicians and technician level jobs, like the associate degree, there's so many transferable skills from one industry to the next to the next. And of course, you know, as a state, we've talked a lot about Intel. This region of the state, we talk about the data centers, we talk about Abbott, we talk about relationships with longstanding companies like First Solar and Dana, and we talk about a lot of our smaller manufacturers. But something that has become even more and more apparent is that 80% of that skill set that's needed for one is what's needed for all the rest. And so can you talk a little bit about how that pipeline works amongst different employers in the region?
So I think I've said this to you multiple times, Dr. Somerville. We, in economic development, our job is to try to bring companies to Ohio that are in our 10 sectors and help them grow if they're already existing in Ohio. And they can only do that if they have workforce and talent. And part of our ongoing conversations is the ecosystem that is very robust and strong here in the state between technical centers, community colleges, and universities. Can it get stronger? Absolutely. Is there room for improvement? Yes. But we have a very, very strong foundation that at times even I take for granted. And I don't recognize always the fact that other states don't operate the way we do. And there are a lot of positives to the way that we deliver locally, and we can adjust regionally and yet have a statewide approach with our workforce and development of our talent. All to say, in those company examples that you gave and hundreds of others here in Northwest Ohio and other places, our curriculum is strong across the state. So if you use Intel as example that you brought up, they indicated that one of the reasons they came to Ohio was because of our talent and our workforce. That includes current labor force. We know how to make things. We have that in our DNA. And we have the institutions such as yours to help them continue to pipeline and or reskill. So that is a reason why they landed. It's a reason why other companies locate here and bring production here, including many of the ones that you outlined in your opening question. And I think, you know, from a student's perspective or a career changer, I don't know that they always recognize that they could literally be a technician at any one of those companies. They could go into biopharma, they can go into solar panel production, they can go into an automotive company, they can do EV battery work, they can do aerospace and aviation. It is literally needed in all of the cross-cutting sectors that we focus on and that moves our economy. They might need a little upskilling here or there depending on how they're transitioning through that, but the opportunities are endless and they cross a lot of sustainable and diverse industries across the state.
That is amazing. You know, you think about the opportunity for people because, you know, that's kind of what our business comes down to is people and helping them, you know, individually and then, you know, on the larger scale. And there are literally tons of opportunities in those fields.
Yeah, I mean, there's 30,000 to 35,000 openings for just technicians across the state any year. And we're producing about 1,200 per year. So there's a gap there that we need to continue to work on for with our employers. That's right. Yes. But also excited about some of the employers really leaning in with us and thinking about how they're upskilling their own staff and having pathways internally for an entry-level individual or someone who is an operator today moving up and advancing into a technician level one. Those technician roles and even engineering. A lot of the companies that we work with and I know you work with have career ladders internally. And if you can get a foot in the door with the right kind of an employer, you have endless opportunities within that company and or in the region if you want to stay.
And that makes such a difference because some of the employers have told us is that when they invest in the training for their employees, then the employee is more likely to be retained. It's kind of that employee engagement model that way. And that makes a huge difference because you want to retain talent.
Yes, for the employer and for Ohio. And for an institution such as yours, there's always opportunity for continuous learning. As fast as the economy is moving and changing, we're going to have to continue to think about how we're skilling ourselves. Just in artificial intelligence, for example, who knows what that's going to look like in the next 6 months, let alone 3 years. But it's changing things. And so how are we making sure that as people, institutions and companies that we're bridging those gaps.
That makes perfect sense. When you talk about the scale and the size of the mismatch where there are, you know, the number of folks who are graduating versus the opportunities, there's a lot of opportunity there. So as part of that opportunity, Jobs Ohio plays a key role in the state's economic development strategy. That's what Jobs Ohio was created to do. And so for people who may not be as familiar, can you talk a little bit about the mission of Jobs Ohio and how it's uniquely structured to attract and retain businesses in the state?
I would be happy to explain Jobs Ohio and what we do. We were stood up in 2011 to be a private economic development corporation for the state of Ohio. At that time, then Governor Kasich felt fairly strong that it needed to come out of the government and stand in a private structure so that it could move at the speed in which business expects it to move. And so that is really the design at the heart of it, is for us to be able to be nimble and agile with the economy and the ever-changing dynamics of the macroeconomics that impact our businesses, but also just in business day to day. We were structured as a private corporation with a private board of directors, and then we were provided sustainable funding through the liquor enterprise, and then experts in our sectors. So we brought in actual subject matter experts from our sector industries. And I think that combination of ands truly make Jobs Ohio and Ohio different than any other state in economic development across the country. And then partners like all of, you know, you and the community colleges really do add to that, along with our business climate. So from an economic development standpoint, I think our structure and Ohio's business climate are two main reasons why Ohio has seen a rebound. From 2011, coming out of a recession, getting people back to work was kind of job one. And then we iterated some initiatives when we knew that we needed to shift with the market on sites, talent, and innovation, seeing where there might be gaps, amplifying partners where they needed to be. And then we were able to be very nimble and agile when March of 2020 occurred. We stepped in, we leaned in when we had funding that was sustainable so we could ensure that things were taken care of for PPE and other matters that were unknown at the time with the state budget and ability to fund things. We also implemented quickly a couple other initiatives to ensure people were able to work if they wanted to, companies that were essential could stay operating, and since then have evolved yet again on where we want to go and envision ourselves in 2030 for our sector companies and continued growth, and where are those opportunities to bring in new businesses, help companies grow here, and advance manufacturing, and manufacturing overall are a big component of that growth as we see it in the next 5 years.
So 2030 is in reference to Jobs Ohio strategic plan, Let's Grow Together. And so you have certain targeted occupations that Jobs Ohio is prioritizing to help the sectors grow and to attract new ones. And so do you want to talk a little bit about what 2030 looks like?
Absolutely. So we've talked a lot about those occupations, and in the big categories, I would say, is probably the simplest way to talk about them, but there are key occupations that funnel into each one of our 10 sectors and that are priority for them in order for them to continue to grow in the state. And those can generally be categorized as engineering. So think chemical engineers, industrial, mechanical, those engineering disciplines. And then we have technicians, kind of already talked about that, making sure that the equipment is operating, the controls are working. Operators as well, for more maybe entry level or production type employees. And then we have computer science and technology. Those are the categories in which our occupations can sit inside. And then there's a lot of detail on titles and programming at the institution level that funnel up to those. But as you well know, Dr. Somerville, a person's path is sometimes not straight and linear. And so we're trying to make sure that we're also thinking about the individuals and the pathways in which you can come on and off, start and stop, and make sure that there's support systems around them, but also for the employer to understand those barriers as well, and to have support even within the employer so that, to your point, they're an employer of choice, but that also requires some thought about their own talent and talent retention strategies. So that's all a piece of it as we've worked through how do we work with our companies to make sure they have the talent and are partnering with the entire system that can support not only them, but the talent and Ohioans across the state.
That makes such a difference. You talked about the on and off ramps, and especially just going back to the gap between the number of technicians we graduate in the state versus the number of openings. You know, people who have already found that path are the ones that are already on their way. We're looking to figure out who has not engaged in this and how can we bring them in? And chances are they already have a level of complexity in their lives to where it's not as simple as saying, oh, yes, I'm going to go do this now. You know, they may have jobs, maybe more than one. They have family responsibilities. They are, you know, they have this whole myriad of things that makes it a little harder for them to engage in what may be a new field to them or something that is upskilling for them. And so those support services and how we help eliminate barriers either on the educational side but also on the workforce side are hugely important. And I know one of the things that we've talked about has been learn and earn opportunities and apprenticeships and things like that as a way to help eliminate one of the barriers of, okay, we're going to help you make a living to an extent while also, you know, you're providing this very valuable service to the employer and you're earning a credential that you need to move forward in that field.
Yes, any experiential learning, earn and learn, internship, all of those are very important to getting the workforce that we need and have been successful in pockets. And we're trying really hard to think about how do you scale that, not only for the institutions. It does require shifting schedules, curriculum, thinking a little differently about the way the standard, if you would call it that, course offerings happen to make sure that a company who is swing shift, second shift, third shift, those are hours in which a campus may or may not have traditionally been open. And so we have to think about that. And volume and scale, I think, is part of that when you can get several employers together so that it's not one off employer at a time schedule that an institution is having to model around. How do we bring employers together in a way that helps scale with our institutions and the earn and learn model, I think, is our next kind of iteration and step. Because like I've said, we're successful in pockets, but I think that scale is going to be where we can really amplify the work and get talent and workforce to the numbers that we need.
That'd be so exciting because, to your point, we have these kind of examples of how we've done that flexibility with different employers. But that's different if it's like our transportation programs like John Deere and Caterpillar. They have, you know, to where there's so many weeks in the classroom and then so many weeks they go to work and it's kind of back and forth like that. Or contract training, they needed to train some folks at midnight. And so we had an instructor go to their site in the middle of the night to be able to do that training. But those are smaller examples that don't necessarily speak to the kind of scale we need at a statewide level.
And those are some bigger names. And so then you get small and mid-sized companies and they have even less capacity to even try to think about how they would have to flex. And so that's where I think our industry sector partners can lean in here to help us truly think strategically about how do we scale those earn and learn programs across localities, regions, and states. You know, it probably won't be one size completely fits all across Ohio because we are a very diverse economy. We have a lot of different community sizes. We have a lot of different needs. But I do think there's a level of scale that we can get to if we just kind of put our heads into it and really think about it with our employers.
That makes perfect sense to us. And so we talked a little bit about the whole education and training piece of it, and it really has been focused on workforce specifically. Like there are certain jobs that are coming up and we need these people to fill these jobs. Can you talk about the value of education overall to workforce development and economic development? Because you hear different pieces, you know, as a person who's not native to economic development like you are, you hear things like, you know, companies are interested in what the educational attainment level of the region is because that means that they might have X number of this, that, and the other, or they're thinking about their staff that will be relocating there. And so tell me, what actually is the role beyond making sure that folks have specific skill sets to fill jobs?
Well, I think overall attainment is an item in which gets discussed in some of those conversations. And a person who's relocating to a community and or a company who's coming here or deciding to grow here, are they coming to a place that cares about themselves? Are they prideful? Are they thinking about how do they advance the community itself? And so some of that is within the quality of life, attainment. Those questions get asked of us from outside and for ranking reasons. But I think education also is some of those softer skills that employers talk about. Are those employees able to communicate? Are they able to clearly identify challenges? Are they problem solvers? Can they do X, Y, or Z? But what is their logical thinking around how would I solve that challenge? Skill hiring compared to only just a degree hiring is a big shift in employers right now. How do they think about not only the technical skills, but the softer skills when they are hiring? Some of them will indicate to us, you know, if they have just a great attitude, they're going to come in to work every day and they just genuinely and authentically like just love to tinker or make things or to help people, especially like in the healthcare industry, we'll teach them the harder technical skills, but it's a little harder to teach them passion and, you know, problem solving and things like that. If they already have that aptitude, they feel much more confident in their ability to teach them some of the technical skills. So I think it's a combination of both, and the entire system, K through 12 to 18 to gray, or however we want to talk about that. But I think it's lifelong learning is a component of it. There's no longer the day where you can kind of go through high school, go to college, and then just work for 30 or 40 years. That time seems to have passed. Those that want to lean in and constantly learn are the ones that are most sought out for employment opportunities.
That makes perfect sense. And it really, to your point earlier, it aligns to what it is we do as an institution, because you know, we truly do welcome all. And so people coming back to reskill or to gain greater clarity in one particular subject area or another is hugely important. And that, quite honestly, is where a lot of our growth has been. So we're excited to see that momentum and to keep it going forward.
Yeah, and you have some that are brave enough to just completely do a career change, right? Maybe it's 5, 10, 15 years in a career, and they're like, you know what, I'm going to go try this. And I mean, that takes some courage to do. But we have the support system, to your point, here within the statement of employers who are open to those kind of career changers. So exciting to see all the facets of our Ohioans taking advantage of the opportunities that are in front of them.
Absolutely. That is always fun. And I love to hear those stories at graduation. They're some of the best. So Area Development Magazine recently announced that Ohio has become a top 3 state for its competitive labor market and a top 10 state for worker training programs. Congratulations. And I know you talked about Jobs Ohio being created in 2011 in response to the economic recession and as a way to help pull Ohio out. And there's often in Jobs Ohio presentations a slide that shows the conditions and the context in 2011 to what is it now. And so why do you think there's been such a shift in our position as a state?
I'd probably put it as simple as leadership and alignment. I think, you know, Governor Kasich started it, Governor DeWine, and then Lieutenant Governor Husted made economic and workforce development a priority in their tenure as the administration and governor. And you continued to see it build on itself. So while, you know, privatizing economic development with Jobs Ohio was a piece of all of that, there's a bigger piece with how the economy operates and business climate is here and moved from well within the below 30 percentile to now 7th across the country, 4th leading. You know, those are the statistics that make you proud as a Buckeye. But I think it's genuinely, I think, leadership, and at multiple, not just the state level, the regional level, as well as the local level. I think we even told you today, Dr. Somerville, that please take the thank you and the your willingness to lean in as a community college president as, you know, not for granted from us. Not everyone gets that kind of leadership within the community college or any other area. And so I truly think it's that, and that we're thinking about it. We're moving the economy. We're a great place to locate. And we already knew that. And the renaissance of manufacturing coming back after the pandemic hit and obvious supply chains were impacted, it became apparent that the U.S. needed to make things again, semiconductors being one of them. Otherwise, literally the world kind of just shuts down and we can't get anything done. You can't drive a car. How many cars were sitting in lots at that point in time because the chips weren't in them? Pretty much everything. Your toaster oven literally has a chip in it to make sure that your toast doesn't burn. I mean, there is a semiconductor chip in almost everything. And so as we think about the renaissance of manufacturing to ensure the protection of the U.S. on the Department of Defense and those kinds of things, that we're in a great position to continue that rebound and trajectory if we can get the right talent, skills, and workforce for those companies. And so that's, I think, what continues to excite me about the role that we play, but it's in a bigger picture from a leadership perspective across the state that I think has made the difference and that will continue to make the difference as we make this next turn in the next 5 years.
It's pretty exciting. You know, it doesn't get old, you know, to see a lot of the growth and the trajectory, and you almost expect that you open up your web browser or LinkedIn or whatever, and you expect to see an announcement every so often of some new company that is either located in the state or in the region or whatever it is. And so it's exciting to be part of and to be part of that kind of growth and momentum. So we're excited for everything that's been done through, you know, the state leadership, Jobs Ohio, Department of Development, all of it. And so we're excited to be a partner in this effort. One of the things that Jobs Ohio has been mentioned in the Owens context is with our feasibility study. And so a year ago, you were on our campus for that announcement and that unveiling. And where Jobs Ohio's partnership was so incredibly important to us was the data. And so part of what Jobs Ohio does is study labor and industry and all these trends that help with your resources and for what you're targeting. And in that particular case, it helped us and it helped save us a significant amount of time as well as resources for the study because you had this and there was an interest in it. And so please know that even though that was well over a year ago, we're still incredibly grateful for that partnership. And so what it showed us is that increased partnerships, including Jobs Ohio, including with our K-12 partners, including with our universities, with our business and industry partners, all of that is important for us to prepare tomorrow's workforce. And so I remember when I asked you about sharing that data, it felt like a no-brainer to you. Like you were like, oh yeah, absolutely. Who do I need to give this to or who should we talk to? Talk to me, though, about why that kind of work is so important to Jobs Ohio and to economic development and to our collective success.
Well, I think early on, and for me in particular, there are a lot of partners at the table in Ohio in particular. And we've started with some bare, like, kind of ground rules, guiding principles. Leverage partners where they exist. Don't recreate wheels. That's how you get faster and you save money. And so that's literally been one of the guiding principles since early in our evolution as a Jobs Ohio team. So yes, it probably did feel a little like, well, absolutely. Why would you recreate a wheel? And why wouldn't you just leverage a partner like Jobs Ohio? And I think one of the other comments we made during that conversation was, this is what we see. This is how we see it. But a lot of this is forecasting and it's a little art mixed with some science. And, you know, we're not going to always have the exact number because things change and dynamics occur and a pandemic hits who, you know, no one sees that coming. But I think the goal is to get conversation started and to have some directionally accurate way of thinking about the future so that we're all rowing towards the same goal and know that if you have a plan, likely something's going to have to shift. But if you don't have a plan, you're just
out there.
And so I think that was probably what you potentially felt during that time when you were talking about your feasibility study. And we were just coming off of Ohio to Work, which was an initiative that we launched because of the pandemic to make sure that community-based organizations and those that had been most impacted by the pandemic, underserved and underrepresented populations, urban cores, that they had a place and a person and a team to go to support them to get employment opportunities. And so I think that's also a little bit of probably what we felt when you were coming in with the feasibility study of, we have these institutions and the core of mainly like the city of Toledo is probably has some pockets where there's some neighborhoods and some populations and school districts that need some additional support. And what are the opportunities? And I think that was some of what we were working together on. And we had already done some of that work. So it felt very natural for us to tell you what we learned, take it, modify it, use it, don't use it, you know, make it yours here in the city of Toledo for you and your partnerships, but no reason to recreate a wheel if we already had some lessons learned and some data.
Well, we really appreciate that. We appreciate that perspective because you're right, it helped reinforce. And so you talk about some things being part science and part art. There's long been felt the opinion that the city of Toledo proper needed a physical location for Owens. And so between the data that you had, what we were able to pull through Trellis and all the partnerships, we were able to do that in a data-informed way so that it wasn't someone's instinct is important, but you can't make those kinds of decisions based on instinct. And so we were able to move forward in a data-informed way. And so we're greatly appreciative to it and feel as though that was one step into a very meaningful long-term partnership with Jobs Ohio. And so we were greatly appreciative of that gift.
You're very welcome.
So talking about partnerships, and business and industry and forecasting. We talk a lot about business and industry and community colleges working together and how it informs what is needed in workforce and training programs. What are some of the key elements that you think about that kind of relationship?
Well, I think I saw a lot of it today touring your campus. It's whether or not industry is at the table with those community colleges. So, you know, Ohio has 22 community colleges. They were designed to meet the local market. And I think that is true to the mission today and to the people who are living in those territories. And so I think, you know, you especially in Owens Community College serve that mission and that purpose, and you're listening to employers' needs. You also seem very much in the what else do we need to be doing? How can we get ahead? How can we use data to inform where we need to go so that you're more proactive than reactive? No one knows better than you, but if we're already being reactive to employers' needs and only reactive, we're already way behind on a talent pipeline. So how are we thinking about that and advancing? And I think that's what a lot of what you do here on the campus, but also your feasibility study, you know, you were getting out ahead of it. The Dana Center, as I understand it, was somewhere in the 2018, 2019 timeframe. So you're already thinking ahead. You already had a corporate partner with you. Thinking about what was going to be needed. I think those are the right ingredients when we're talking about how do we pull employers and industry in and know that they don't always know necessarily. They have some directionally accurate estimates and forecasts, but a quick shift on macroeconomics can change a lot of their plans as well. And so our ability to be thoughtful and agile and nimble with them, I think is important. And I think that has been what they have seen historically out of Ohio's community colleges. I think others are catching up maybe, and some partnerships that are being driven by leaders such as yourself here in Toledo with the University of Toledo and technical centers. But I think that is truly what was designed originally anyway from the community college perspective in Ohio was how do we make sure that that is the business voice? How is, you know, industry being met with their talent needs by the community colleges, and how do we leave them as nimble and agile as possible? Technical centers, obviously a component as well, and universities, but I think it's that whole system that really makes it unique for Ohio, for our delivery model.
Thank you for that. And I really believe that it's one of those where it does take all of us, because it's if you don't have students who are interested, they're never going to make their way to your door. And there are some folks who know that they're destined for a bachelor's degree or beyond, but here's a pathway right through to where it creates a different set of opportunities for you or an increased set of opportunities for you. And so for us to be able to work together with our industry partners, I think is hugely important, because if they're trying to be ahead of the game, if you don't have a relationship with them, they can't talk to you about where they believe their industry is headed, which means you don't have the ability to prepare in advance. And so if it's something that they're looking to do in the next 1, 3, 5, however many years, we don't already have either the technology or the faculty. We need to hear from them to be able to do that. And so that kind of 360-degree kind of communication and partnership is hugely important. And so we see the value in it as a community college, and we see the convening responsibility that we have to all of our partners, be it K through 12 or on the four-year university side. But, you know, it really, I really believe that that's why we were created as a community college, to be, you know, a true partner with, you know, a variety of business and industry. For, I mean, all of that, to be able to truly live our mission and serve the people of the region.
The one partner that maybe has not been listed but is critical to that pipelining is our K through 12 system, the Department of Education and Workforce. And I know your strength is also in the Toledo public school system and the other districts that you touch from a community college perspective. And I mean, I think, you know, some of the statistics would indicate over 30 to 40% of the jobs in the future, the very near future, are going to be STEM related or oriented. And so the more that we can work with our partners, even in that K through 12 space and industry, to make sure math isn't scary, you know, or whatever those barriers are in our K through 12 space, is also an area we need to make sure that that's a foundation that is strong for career pathwaying, because it's going to be a lot easier for that individual to continue on, go straight to work, do an earn and learn, or continue on if they have a strong foundation. And that starts in our public school systems from the K through 12.
We're very fortunate to where we have good relationships with our K through 12 partners. And, you know, this part of the state, as you know, I mean, we have very large urban districts, we have smaller ones, we have all the ones in between. And so it's really good to be able to make sure that we're in regular contact with them, talking about what are their challenges, how can we help them. We've begun, you know, looking at profile data, you know, in aggregate form from students from different school districts, and meeting with the superintendent and their leadership. I'm like, okay, these are your students who came to Owens. Here's what we see. Here are the programs they're interested in. And how can we work together to make sure that people have the path that they need to launch a successful life, whatever it is that looks like. Mm-hmm. And so it's those kinds of partnerships have been hugely important to us. And that open communication has been hugely important to us. So one of the things that we haven't talked about a lot, but I know it's one of the sector priorities for Jobs Ohio, is healthcare. And of course, we opened our new healthcare education center. And we know that we're one of the largest healthcare professional providers in the region. You know, we have more than a dozen different programs. We have one of the highest ranking RN programs, you know, based on NCLEX score passing. I think we're number one in the state or the region or something along those lines. And so we have a lot of strength in healthcare. Yet it's one of those where we know that it's something that kind of keeps moving. It's almost self-perpetuating in a way. You know, the hospitals and healthcare systems are a bit of a machine, and they're trying to keep up with a lot of disruption that they've experienced over the last several years. And so how does Jobs Ohio look at the healthcare sector in terms of workforce development? We know that of our top 15 employers that employ our graduates, like three of the top 15 are healthcare. And so it takes a lot of our energy and focus to focus on healthcare. How does Jobs Ohio see the healthcare industry?
We have a healthcare sector as one of our 10. Just like most of our team at Jobs Ohio, we're subject matter experts, and some of them come from the larger healthcare infrastructure or system. From a Jobs Ohio perspective, as we were stood up and have gone through some strategy changes on our sector teams, we've stayed pretty focused on the sector's priorities around where they drive the most ripple effect or the most impact for dollars being spent within the community. We mark ourselves on job creation and payroll, but not only that, in capital investment, how much are we having an impact on the GDP, and how much of that is impacting indirect and induced jobs. So population-based, if we're not growing the population or we're not giving opportunity for Ohioans, there's a little less of a need for some of the population-driven things. Healthcare, meaning like hospitals, physicians, retail falls into that a little bit. But we also recognize for healthcare that is extremely important for a talent and a workforce to be healthy. They have to have access to healthcare. And so it's something that we've worked in partnership with industry sectors, the Ohio Business Roundtable, the Ohio Life Sciences industry sector partner. Those are some of the partners that we've thought and worked with. From a workforce and talent perspective, while we don't focus necessarily on RNs or doctors, we know that it's important, and we've been trying to be creative about how do we help other partners in that, or let them lead in those areas. And then for us, it's about how are we making sure that bio, pharma, life sciences, research and development, the innovation side of healthcare is priority and has the leadership and the talent that they're going to need in order to turn out new medicine, new drugs, new ways of doing things, new cures, hopefully. Some of that was our three innovation districts that we implemented in 2020 and 2021 in Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Columbus, and then the innovation hubs that have come shortly after that from Department of Development, which Toledo is one of those recipients, but it's truly about healthcare is in components of all of those innovation hubs for the most part. And we know that it is a priority for this administration and Governor DeWine to make sure that people are taken care of and they have access to health across the state.
No, I appreciate that explanation because you're looking at it from a almost where is it that we can have a sizable impact and make a difference in the state and the lives of people in the state. Makes perfect sense. So one of the things that you talked about earlier was how those universal skills of communication, problem solving, that you're hearing that employers are prioritizing needing that. That, you know, if you bring work ethic and passion and the discipline, willing to get up every morning, you know, whatever those things are, that they're willing to teach you skills. What are some of the other things that employers are prioritizing for today's workforce?
Coachability might mm-hmm. be another one that I would put in there. Is the individual able to have the aptitude to adapt and learn mm-hmm. and be open to feedback and course correcting if mm-hmm. that needs to be not just from the person, but like the product they're making or whatever right. that may be. And then hands-on technical skills is mm-hmm. an area where I think they're focusing, especially with manufacturing coming back on. That's an area that has been put into mm-hmm. Priority from our employer's perspective. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think working in a team environment has definitely become a top priority for a lot of our employers. They still need some, you know, individual contributors that can be very autonomous. Mm-hmm. But how do you make a product better and work as a team is definitely part of what we've seen a resurgence of within most of the companies that we're working with.
So you represent Jobs Ohio. Is there a particular way that you would want individuals or businesses or entities, how should they engage with Jobs Ohio?
They can go directly to our website, jobsohio.com. but they can also, we have 7 regional partners mm-hmm. that are integrated into the system, into the fabric of economic development and workforce development from an Ohio perspective. And then they also have local economic developers or chambers of commerce that are also integrated into it. So truly, there should be no wrong door, no matter how they approach us. And partners such as yourself at Owens Community College tried to build a very tight network so that an employer and or person doesn't get lost in the fray. But if they want to engage, I would say those are probably the top 3 is straight to us. Our network partners here in Northwest Ohio, that's a regional growth partnership. And then any of the local economic development or workforce development groups would be the first answer. But we all work very integrated together. So,
which is very nice. I mean, you can see the flow through and the alignment of the information, the direction, initiatives, all of that. It's really nice to be part of. Christy, thank you so much for joining us today on the Conversations Podcast. I am so thrilled to have this opportunity for us to talk a little more about economic development, workforce development, and all the wonderful things that are happening in Ohio. Thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you, Dr. Somerville, for having us.
Thank you. Christy, thank you so much for being with us today. We are incredibly grateful to you and Jobs Ohio for the economic development opportunities you bring to our state. And thank you for your support and your time today. And thank you to all of our listeners. Please remember to subscribe and join us for future conversations. Until next time, take care.